Thank you, Marion.
Thank you, Marion. That's a long haul, isn't it? Well done. And you got a cough as well. So today I'm going to be talking about hospitality. Let's just start with a prayer. So, Father God, we just thank you so much for your living word, which is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. In this passage today, we get an overall picture of the disciples being sent out on mission. And Lord, I pray that you will speak to each and every one of us, open our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say to each and every one of us today. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when I say the word hospitality, what does the word mean to you? Audience participation, what does the word mean?
Food.
I had a feeling that might be first on the agenda. Food.
Welcoming people,
wonderful. And food is wonderful, yeah. Can't go wrong there. Any other ideas?
Being generous.
Being generous, great. Yeah, other ideas. So I looked it up in the Cambridge Dictionary online, of course. And it says the act of being friendly, generous, and welcoming guests, visitors, and strangers, or strangers. And it comes from the Latin word hospes, if that's the right way to pronounce it, meaning both host and guest. The term spans across personal behaviour, which is what we're going to focus on today, business, entertainment, and a massive global service industry. So I'm not going to dismiss the food and the hospitality industry, but we're looking at the more personal behaviour for us. I don't know, for those of you that drive, you've learned to drive and you've always got somebody next to you and you pass a driving test, and for me it was a Friday, I passed first go. Anybody else passed first go? Oh, lots of you, well done. Those were the days, eh? And I remember the next day I decided in my wisdom to drive into Guildford, a city that I knew quite well, or I thought I did. And I was driving on my own, moved next to me, and I knew the way, I knew which way to go. And the trouble is, I couldn't remember which lane to get in. And I was sweating buckets by the time I got there. I found the nearest car park and drove in it, thinking, I can't cope with this. It was so scary. And I ended up walking about a mile and a half to get to the city, because I was petrified. And I feel that this might have been how the disciples felt when they were setting out, when Jesus was about to send them out into the lost sheep of Israel. I'm just going to put this up a tiny bit. Lost sheep of Israel, which were the Jews, who were expecting the Messiah. So Jesus wanted them to be reached first. And so, so it must have been really scary, although they went out in twos. Ooh, they didn't have Jesus saying, well, what do we do about this? What do we do about that? So pretty scary stuff, as it was for us when we first drove. He wanted them, because just before this passage, and I didn't get you to read that, Barry, I thought you'd read more than enough. It says that Jesus went through the towns and the villages, and when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed, they were helpless, they were like sheep without a shepherd. And I don't know about you, when you go around the village or wherever you're around the influence, people are so anxious, see people are so feeling hopeless and in a lot of pain. And then, but he then said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out the workers into the harvest field. And so this verse is like the springboard for chapter 10 that Marion very kindly read. And so all that was about to happen. So here are the disciples together with Jesus. They've learned so much from him, his teachings, his insights. He'd taught them how to pray, they'd witnessed miracles and healings, but he'd always been there And in Matthew 10, Jesus was preparing them to go out into outside to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those which are unwell, and drive out demons. Freely you have received, he says, freely give. What have we received? We've received God's salvation, haven't we, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That freedom that we have in him. And it's for us to freely give. So he's sending them out to put into practice what they had learnt with him. He'd equipped them he had equipped them to go out in his authority to drive out demons, to heal the sick. And as he has for us today, he has given that authority to us too. Sounds a bit scary, but he has. If we are spirit-filled Christians, we have that authority. So this, can you imagine this ramshackle bunch of disciples, you know, all smelly, maybe dirty, fishermen, probably illiterate, most probably, tax collector working for the Romans, so hated by the Jews, political activists and the like. He called them because he knew that he could use them for his kingdom. He's called us today because he knows that he can use us for his kingdom. He's given us all different gifts to use for his kingdom. And he said not to be afraid. We're being sent out, and it is like going out to the wolves sometimes, isn't it, when we're going into scary places. He says, but what you will be given what to say, for you will not be speaking, but the Spirit of the Father that speaks through you. So don't be afraid, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, it says in verse 26, or hidden, that we will not be made, that will not be made known. And what is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. What Jesus says to us, it's really good to share with others. But I don't know about you, but I get people saying, oh, I don't believe in God. And if I'm feeling bold enough, I say, well, he believes in you, you know. And in verse 32, it says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven, but whoever disowns me before others, I would disown before my Father in heaven. We all stand before Jesus. Every human being stands before Jesus when we die. So Jesus is preparing to go out to the world, to land among wolves, but through the Holy Spirit. They would have prayed, obviously, before they left. And only through spending time with Jesus can that happen effectively for the kingdom. So for us, it's not just reading or listening to the Bible, it's studying and seeing how it applies to us, to pray, and especially to ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what does that look like for us today? When we meet somebody, we are entering into stand back, right. Is that better? Sorry. When we meet somebody, we're entering into their space, into their territory. And as I was preparing this, I was reminded of the woman at the well. Now, the woman at the well is in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. That's the only gospel it's in, so John chapter 4. So do read it when you get home. I'm going to read it now. And it starts by saying that Jesus had to go through Samaria. And he had to go because he knew that he had that divine appointment with this woman at the well. She went there daily in the middle of the day to avoid scorn and gossip because of the lifestyle that she was living. And Jesus entered into her space. He met her where she was at. She was there collecting water. And so he asked for water. He was quite capable of getting water for himself. But he wanted to break the ice, so to speak. And so he asked her for a drink of water. And this space, maybe where she wanted to be left alone in her sorrows and her shame. And yet he was entering into this interaction, and then for so that he could invite her into his space to receive the gospel. Let me say that again. He was entering into her space to start an interaction so that he could invite her into his space to receive the gospel. He met her where she was at. Now let me ask you a question. Where is your well? Where do you meet people outside the church? We're talking about outside the church. It could be friends, neighbours. Is it in the office? Is it in the school? Is it in the supermarket queue? Is it doggy walking, those of you who've got dogs? Is it the bus stop or actually on the bus? Where do you meet people outside where you can go alongside and talk to and get to know them better? Sometimes it's just a polite good morning on your way to work. Sometimes it's more, sometimes we often meet people regularly and it can, little by little, it can be more of an interaction and to invite them into your space for them to receive the gospel. That brief connection can lead to a deeper connection and a conversation about Jesus. Now, I'm sure you're all aware that this afternoon is Matt Fest. The social club are organising it, and I was thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful if people that were going to the Matt Fest came here first? We had a church full of people. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But here's the thing. To get them here, we have to enter into their space first. Don't we? We have to. We can't expect them. I mean, some people are called to just turn up at church, and that's wonderful that happens. But very often, there are people out there that are hurting, hopeless, anxious, in pain, that we need to reach out. And it's a bit scary, yes. But it's something that we have to do, we are called to do, just as the disciples were. We are disciples of today. And I know, for me, the Matt Fest is not my bag. I confess I've never actually been to a sports and social club, you know, in a drinking environment. That's not my bag. But because they're laying on this sort of, I think it's like a bit like the village fete, I know that there's going to be a lot of people there that I have maybe a tiny connection with, and hopefully that connection will go deeper. So it's not my bag, but I feel quite called to go there this afternoon. I'm hoping that one of my neighbours is going to come with me, that said she'd quite like to go, but she's having a busy day, so. But I know that Kirsty and Lizzie are going to be there and others, so at least I'll have somebody to talk to, or an excuse to go, because I think anybody can go. And to build up those stronger connections. Because with the woman at the well, Jesus chose this broken, rejected, shamed woman to be his first evangelist. Isn't that amazing? And we all have different gifts. We're not all evangelists, and I understand that. I don't feel I am, but I can go up and say, hello, good morning. How are you today? And all you've got little kids there, oh, what are you up to, kids, or things like that, you know. Oh, isn't the weather hot? I think that's probably going to be the topic of conversation today. But he gives us all different gifts that we can reach out with the gospel. We're all different. We don't need to compare ourselves with others, just to what Jesus has called us to do. To encourage that gift of hospitality that Jesus has given you. And I'm not talking about, you can invite people for meals and cups of tea, but it's inviting people into your space, or to, you know, to connect with them first. It's like Jesus connected with her first to be able to invite the woman at the well into his space. And actually, reading through that that encounter, I think the conversation would be an awful lot longer than was mentioned in the Bible, because I think nobody else was there, and the gospel, John, the disciple John wrote it, and I think Jesus probably just relayed the snippets. He wouldn't have said everything, would he? But I reckon the conversation's a lot longer than we actually read. I don't know. I'm just throwing that in. So what we're thinking about in a minute, during the response, during the reflection time, I'd like you to write down where your well is, where you meet people outside the church. And maybe set yourself a challenge. For me, going to Matthew's, especially if I'm going in on my own, is a massive challenge. So that you might think, oh, she's very confident, but I'm not. I'll sort of tiptoe in and think, oh, good, there's somebody I know, I'll make a beeline for them. And that's the start of conversations and conversations and conversations. That's going to be my challenge this afternoon. So maybe God is challenging you to reach out to somebody that maybe you find difficult. You know, maybe neighbours or somebody that you work with that you find difficult. And it could be offering that person a cup of tea and, oh, let's catch up over, you know, come to my place or go to pretty cafes. It could be offering them a lift or offering them a meal if they're struggling. It might be just a warm, friendly good morning on a walk around the neighbourhood. So in summary, let's firstly seek first the righteousness of God through repentance, to go before God and lay down all the things that are a block between us and Him. To pray that God would bring us people to go alongside. We could say to Him, Lord, who would you like me to speak to today? And offer that hospitality, whether it's just a cheery good morning, entering into offering the gospel. Where is your well? Let us pray. So, Lord, I thank you that you have given us all different gifts, but we can all reach out to others. And I pray that you will prompt each and every one of us here today to where would you like us to reach out? And I remember hearing a prayer once saying, what are you up to today, Lord? And could I be part of it, please? And maybe consider how we relate to others outside the church. Freely we have received, let us freely give to others. Lord, help us to bring hope to the hopeless. Help us to bring peace in stormy times for those that don't know you, Lord. And help us to love the unlovable, those that everybody else reject. Help us to go through our week and notice you, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others, and to draw that out and conversation. In conversations. And may we be guided by you, filled with your spirit each and every day to reach out to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I've got a little piece of paper and hopefully pens, and during